Writer Judy Blunt's essays about life on a remote Montana ranch have long won critical praise. Now they've been collected and published in book form under the title Breaking Clean. It's a memoir about her childhood on the ranch, her young marriage, and ultimately her decision to leave the land. William Marcus of Montana Public Radio has the story.
Judy Blunt was raised in a culture that had little use for foolishness or self-indulgence. Get tough was the answer to any complaint. On the ranch, the roles were cleanly drawn between women's work in the house and a man's job with the horses or calves. Blunt writes that your place in the family history was based on your ability to amount to a good story, or barring that, to tell one.
The first story about me goes like this. The summer Judy was 4, she trotted into the kitchen so full of importance she could have popped her with a pin. We had company, but she was holding something, and I looked over to see what she'd dragged in. She had one of those big round cockleburrs. She steps up to the table with it cupped in both hands. A cactus just calved, she says, and holds up the baby to show it off. I saw the whole thing.
Blunt's dry wit and sense of timing drew her family's respect. She collected stories like she collected cuts and scrapes, roughhousing with her brothers and sisters. She married at 18 to a man 12 years her senior. Blunt moved to his place, 50 miles from the nearest town, where they raised 3 children. But finally, the isolation of the ranch and her unraveling marriage made her decision to leave inevitable. She loaded up her kids and literally headed over the hill.
Leaving is driving up the road for an hour and then suddenly you're somewhere else. At that point then, I had to discover where I was going to go from there. If I can't be at the ranch, where else can I be in this world?
400 miles away, in Missoula, Blunt enrolled in college and turned to the talent that had made her name in the family, telling stories. She majored in journalism, but her knack at shaping and coloring the facts landed her in a creative writing course. She started writing poetry. Her poems became longer and longer narrative works, and she was advised to try personal essays. Deborah Erling was a new creative writing professor at the time, who says she was both drawn to Blunt's writing and humbled by it.
Her writing strikes me as always, it is so passionate and so powerful that it literally seems like she's cutting meat from her bones. You can almost hear the bone scrape when you're reading her work.
The vivid images carved into Blunt's stories began to attract attention. A literary agent took some of her essays to New York and came back with offers from 3 major book publishers. It took Blunt 6 years to round up early essays and write new ones. Breaking Clean begins with the very first essay she ever wrote in college. It tells of the end of her marriage and includes this exchange from a counseling session that she and her husband endured.
How often do you tell your wife that you love her? Oh, I've told her that before, he replied cautiously. You only told me you loved me once, and that was the day we were married, I said. Well, John said, injured and defensive, I never took it back, did I?
Blunt says her husband was joking, sort of. But she says it's a simple fact that love was not expressed in words on the ranch. As she says, it was expressed in making do and getting by and loyalty. That was less than Blunt had bargained for, but fine fabric for stories. She laid her pattern of truth over the material, getting some advice in simplicity from her mother.
I tried one time to tell her how I sorted things into piles, in a sense, like laundry. I had the facts, and then there's perspective, and then there's the truth. And she was very patient. She let me run on and on, and finally she said, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's either the truth or it's a goddamn lie.
The truth in Blunt's stories seemed to connect especially to the people who still live in the ranching country of eastern Montana, where Blunt grew up. She went back there on a writer's reading tour, accompanied by novelist and short story writer Pete Fromm. He says the audience was completely wrapped up in her stories, not questioning a word, an image, anything.
Sometimes in a reading you feel that people are almost looking for some, he missed it there, that's not the way it really is. And East people were listening to one of their own tell a story like they would at home or the bar, the feed store. And the story was so believable in itself that they never considered the writer's hand in it.
Judy Blunt writes that during her years in college and graduate school, she began to recognize the connection between her life and that of women from far different backgrounds, mill towns, inner cities, suburbs.
Listening to their stories, I came to understand how women can be isolated by circumstances as well as by distance, and how our experiences, though geographically distinct, often translated into the same feelings. Away from the physical presence of my past, I found it easy to argue that what mattered most was the story, the truth of what we tell ourselves, the versions we pass along to our daughters.
The stories Blunt passes along to her readers are filled with her dissatisfaction with seeing capable women denied the status they were due on the ranch. Blunt found the narrowly defined role of women increasingly unsettling as she got older. In one essay called Fighting Fire, she tells of wearing a large coat to hide her maturing body. In frustration, she would reach under the coat to pinch and bruise her skin, rebelling against the changes. And then a few pages later, these body images are transferred to a landscape that's been stripped by fire.
5,000 acres of grazing land and grain fields, once as comfortable and taken for granted as the coat I pulled around me, stretched to the horizon in black waves, stripped to meat and muscle. The soft contours were gone. Coulees and draws, naked of grass, rose stark as bruised skin, every wrinkle and rock exposed to the air.
Blunt's stark landscape softens in the book's last pages. She writes of a recent visit to the playground of her now-abandoned one-room schoolhouse. There she found the remains of her rock playhouse settling into the sod.
The prairie will reclaim its squared corners and straight walls as it has gradually, patiently taken back the teepee rings left centuries before. Driving the narrow, familiar road back to my parents' ranch, I felt a sense of peace, imagining my house hundreds, thousands of years from now, suspended far below the surface of the short grass plains, 5 stone rooms that hold a part of me still.
A poetic ending wasn't Blunt's idea, it was her editor's. Blunt wanted Breaking Clean to end with the second-to-last essay in the book.
It ends with an image of my husband stepping out on the step and looking about the land and trying to imagine that this land was alive enough that it could pop up a new hill, you know, that upheaval, in a sense, was on its way, and that he would be unable, ultimately, to recognize it.
Judy Blunt says the hardscrabble hills of eastern Montana will always be a place to reach back and touch, to affirm a memory, and, no doubt, to spark another story. For NPR News, I'm William Marcus in Missoula, Montana.